Hey everyone, I'm Katie. Welcome to Trailhead Church, and thank you for spending part of your weekend with us. In just a few minutes, the band will be out to lead us in worship, then one of our pastors will share a message. Altogether, we'll be here for a little over an hour this morning. If you're new this morning, we're honored that you've chosen to join us, and we'd love to get to know you. The easiest way to get connected is to complete our online Connect card. It only takes just a minute, and it's the best way to become part of the Trailhead community. Just scan the QR code on the seat back in front of you or visit trailhead.church/connect. If you're with us in person, make sure you stop by our info desk and meet one of our friendly welcome team members and receive the gift on your way out. Just a couple of quick reminders before we get started. If you've chosen to keep your kids in service with you today and you'd like a more private space to comfort or nurse your child, we have calming spaces available where you can continue to watch the service. Just ask one of our volunteers to show you the way. If you want to stay up to date on everything happening around Trailhead, you're going to want to download the Trailhead Church app. You'll be able to find message notes for today's sermon, see all of the upcoming events, communicate with your study group, and catch up on messages that you may have missed. You can sign up and receive specific notifications based on your interest. Just scan that QR code on the seat back in front of you and search Trailhead Church in the App Store. Thank you again for being with us this weekend. Grab a seat and let's get ready for worship. Good morning, Trailhead Church. What an honor it is to be here with you on this beautiful Sunday morning. I just want to remind you that the Word of God tells us to enter His courts with thanksgiving and praise. So this morning, I want to invite you, personally invite each and every one of you to stand to your feet, open your hearts, be ready to receive, to express your gratefulness to the Lord, your gratitude. And if you're having a hard time this morning experiencing that gratitude, I want to invite you again to just take a moment and say, Lord, I need you right now. I need you right now. In this moment, show me your joy. Show me your peace. Show me your comfort. Because He's good and He's faithful and He's true and He wants the best for you. So I'm excited about this morning and what the Lord is going to do this morning. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, you're so good. You're so good, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When I was lost and all alone, your presence was where I found home. You were there and you're here right now. In every high and every low, you never left me with
Tomorrow, he is the rock. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for such a time as this. God, that we seize every moment in that understanding of being in your presence. So that, Lord, as we walk out of here today, Lord, we know that you go before us. God, that you surround us. Lord, that you take care of everything. And so, Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that today we take full advantage of that understanding. Lord, that being in your presence right now, God, that we start, Lord, the week in a way that, Lord, that pleases you, that, Lord, that ignites and fans the flame. Lord, is the instruction that Paul gives to Timothy, Lord, that understanding of a continual presence with you. God, I thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. Lord, that you've laid out those plans, the best of the best before us. God, I thank you, Lord, that we wake up, Lord, to see what you're doing. Lord, that we want to be a part of it. Lord, not to do our own thing, but Lord, to be a part of what you're doing. God, to minister the gospel to those that we are in contact every week with. God, to be a good friend, to surround our loved ones, Lord, with your strength and your peace, your understanding. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that our hearts are prepared this morning to receive. Lord, every heavy burden's been taken off right now. Lord, we lay those at your feet so that, Lord, that we can pick up those things that you have for us, the good stuff. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are creating in us to be instruments for noble purpose. So, Heavenly Father, we give you honor in this place. Lord, we praise you. We magnify your name. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen and amen. Well, love on your neighbor. Come on, give him a big old hug, a high five. Reach across the aisle, meet somebody new this morning. Come on. I know. Well, good morning, Trailhead Church. If you're tuned in online, we're so thankful you're tuned in. Continue to tune in. I know some of you are watching from a far, far away land, but if you are in the area and you're trying to check us out, well, it's better to do it in person. I promise you that. So I would encourage you to come out to church. Matter of fact, you can actually just plan to be here in about an hour and a half for the second service. If you want to come out, we'd love to see you. If you are visiting in person this morning, we're super pumped you're here. Stick around, ask questions, find out more about the church. Don't just run away. There's actually a QR code in the seat back in front of you. And if you want to take your smartphone and scan that QR code, you'll be able to open up a website that gives you all sorts of information about the church. There's actually a Connect card. So if you didn't get a physical Connect card out there at the information area, then I would encourage you to fill that out. The whole purpose of it is not for us to badger you, and we're not going to show up at your door. However, back in the day, we used to deliver cookies. I know, man, you won't believe some of the things that we've done for first-time visitors. You used to get a t-shirt. You used to get gum, like special gum. Oh, yeah, gum boxes. I would handwrite this thing with gum in it. Oh, it was crazy. We've done all sorts of stuff. But I promise you, we will not show up at your door today or tomorrow. However, the whole point of filling out that Connect card is so that you have a point of contact with us, so that we can reach out to you and let you know more about the church. And if you have any questions or anything at all, we would love, 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 love for you to reach out to us, okay? So make that happen. So we're so thankful you're here. If you've been coming to the church for a really long time, we love you. There's so many of you out here in this room. Man, I love our church family. I love seeing you out in public. I love hanging out with you. It is a joy to be around Trailhead Church people. They are fun. They are good, good people. You know, I mentioned it a few weeks ago. You know, it's when you hang out a lot with people, you start dressing alike. Me, Katie, Stephen, and Dex all have the same outfit on today. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but all four of us have the exact same outfit. Matter of fact, Dex and Katie have the same black pants, green top, and then me and Steven. So all that to say, that's weird. So yeah. Anyway, well, we're pumped. Pumped to be at church, that's for sure. By the way, I'm running on 3 hours of sleep. So yeah, I don't feel that much good. But So I just want to let you know that if there's a misfire in any moment, that's why, okay? So, but I am Holy Spirit filled up. Let me tell you why. That's important. It's important because my friend, Reverend Reinhard Bonnke, told me one time, he said the church is too full of caffeine and they're relying on caffeine rather than the Holy Spirit. So I said, all right. By the way, some of you are like, were you really Reinhard Bonnke's friend? I asked him if I could be, and he said yes. So yes, so we're friends. He passed away a few years ago. Oh, sorry, my nephew got married yesterday in West Virginia, so I had to go up there, sit outside while it was kind of rainy. It was a wonderful wedding, it was beautiful, but it was a little rainy. Anyway, and then drive home last night, 4.5 hours, but we made it, so I'm on a few hours of sleep and filled with the Holy Spirit. So that's good. So let's do this. All right. Hey, it is offering time. You can follow the prompts behind me. And again, if there's a QR code there in the seat back, you can give that way as well. And then we have offering envelopes attached to the boxes as you exit today. A lot of people have an issue with giving. Don't be like, oh, really? That's like a number one question when it comes to church. People are like, oh my God, that's all churches, that's all they care about is giving. Or, oh, there it goes, I knew it, the pastor's going to talk about giving, here it goes. You know, there's always an issue around money. Well, Jesus knew this. I mean, Jesus encountered it a lot. And that's that. They even tried to trip him up. You know, it's like, hey, should we give taxes? And he's like, yeah, give under Caesar what are Caesar's, right? And so all of that to say, it's been an issue for a very long time, but it's not money. Even the scriptures tell us, it's not money is the root of all evil. It's the love of money is the root of all evil. So there's always been something connected to it. And what the problem that is connected to is that it's connected to us. And so then it gets perverted, right? And that's where we have to keep it in line. And so God gives us the instruction that we lay those tithes and those offerings, those first fruits before Him first. By doing so, you are actually in control of that finance, all the finances in your life. So you're laying that before the Lord, and you're saying, this is, I have control over this. I have a choice, and I lay this before my Heavenly Father to say, Lord, you know what's best. Guide me with my first fruits, my tithes, my offerings. Guide me with the rest. So that's the whole posture behind it. And so many people get hung up on offering or in general tithes. And I understand, but again, the big picture of it is even Paul talks about the need to further the gospel and how this tithe and that offering goes to do that, to provide for the church in order that we can continue the Great Commission. If you think that it's like, oh, we don't have to do that anymore. It's interesting. You're in a building right now with air conditioning and toilet paper. It would be awesome if you were like all required. It was like, bring your own toilet paper. Everyone's like, oh, here's a roll before you go to the bathroom. I'm just being real. This is, you know, I'm making fun of it. But in the sense of, if we'd get down to the nitty gritty, you would realize, you know what? Taking care of God's house is really important. But it's bigger than that. And I tell you right now, God has supernaturally, over and abundantly taken care of this church. I mean, time and time again. Oh my gosh. I mean, beautiful stories of how God's provision just comes through at the right moment. And it could be anything from not even finances, but from men and women who just want to serve the kingdom of God in a way that took care of financial hardship. And it just took care of it in a way that we were able to put our blood, sweat, and tears into it. And God just, he met the difference in so many different ways. So all that to say, God is a provider. Don't allow money to dictate you, to cause fear and anxiety in your life. It's not worth it, all right? All right, I'm going to pray over the offering. And then we have some video announcements. We have a highlight from last Sunday's work day. Super cool. Everyone that showed up, thank you for showing up and being a part of serving the community, reaching out to the community in certain ways that are, it's neglected items that we got to pick up and fulfill and clean up and help straighten up and do all these things. And it was so cool to see everyone that was here to participate. So thank you for doing that. Again, we should be a reflection of God in our community. So man, continue to do that. So that's up there. And then we're going to start a new message series today. So I'm pumped about that. So let's pray and we'll start going here. So Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this morning and all that you've laid out before us. God, I thank you, Lord, that you have provided the seed for the sower. God, I thank you, Lord, that we don't withhold that seed, but Lord, that we give in a way that's pleasing to you. Lord, as the scriptures say, Lord, I pray that it is a sweet aroma, Lord, that you are well pleased with. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for every need being met in the church. Every need, from the small to the tall. Heavenly Father, we honor you this morning with our first fruits, our tithes, and our offerings. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Hey, everybody. I'm Rashad, and here's some of the things coming up around Trailhead Church. Remember, download our app to make sure you don't miss the rest of the events happening right here at Trailhead. Ladies, this is the very last day to sign up for the Going Higher Women's Retreat. You don't want to miss this two-night experience at the beautiful Caraway Conference Center in Asheboro, where we'll have services, activities, Bible studies, and lots of ways to hang out and have fun. This is your last chance to grab a friend and to reserve your spot. Just head to the Events tab in the Trailhead app to sign up today. On the first Sunday of every month, we set aside time to come together in prayer as a church to seek God for our families, communities, and for our church. We host a short time of worship. Our staff and our care team lead us in prayer over some specific points. Then we have an open time of prayer and communion where you can reflect and you can seek the Lord. If you're passionate about seeing God move in your life and at Trailhead, this is the place to be. Come out tonight at 6 p.m. The Peanut Butter Jelly Jog 5K is coming soon, and now is the time to make sure you are part of the action. This fun, family-friendly event winds through the heart of Graham and supports the vital work of Safe at the Bridge Ministries. There are a couple of ways that you can be a part of this great event. First, you can register to participate. Whether you run, jog, or walk, every dollar of your registration goes straight to Safe to support families in need. Second, we need about 45 volunteers to help us on November 8th to make sure that everything runs smoothly. You can register or sign up to volunteer today. Just head to the Events tab in the Trailhead app to find out more. If you have questions about anything happening at Trailhead, our friendly welcome team would love to help you. You can find them right in the middle of the lobby at our info desk, or you can always connect with us online.
So I'm Justin Snyder, and we are here today at Newland Elementary with a group of about 25 volunteers coming out to just beautify the schools. This is an area where the future of Alamance County comes to school each and every day, and it's really important that when they come to school, they're greeted by a site that just represents the education they're going to get inside the room. We've got groups out here mulching, we've got groups painting, we're pruning, we're just really trying to beautify the site so that when the students come back to class next week, they're greeted with some beauty that they hadn't seen before.
Hey, I'm Leslie Ray, the principal at Andrews Elementary School, and we are so thankful to have Trailhead serve actually today here in our Memorial Garden. This is for one of our students who passed away here on our campus, and we want to restore this to give back the beautification to remember this student and honor them, and we're so thankful for all of the people who have shown up from Trailhead to serve today.
Hey, my name is Tell. I'm with the Graham Recreation and Parks Department. Today we're out here with Trailhead Church doing a Serve the Day cleanup on the South Graham Park Nature Trail.
It's awesome. Give it up. All right, so we start a new series today called I Need a Friend. So pay attention. It's not, some of you are like, I've got tons of friends. Some of you are saying, I don't have very many friends. Someone says, I got enough friends, whatever it may be. But this is really a self-examination. So let's start from that place, all right? So in my 46 rotations around the sun, I have seen some people get a lot of bad advice from things that they would call friends. So I'd like to go through and list some of this so that we would recognize that this isn't a good friend, okay? Number one, the magic eight ball, all right? You can shake it all you want, but it's not going to give you the advice that you're looking for. And again, when you're in desperate need, all it's going to say is ask again. Not a great place to start, all right? Right? I think we can all agree to that. Number two, really bad friend, Siri, and any type of device that never actually is listening when you need them, but is always listening when you don't, right? Not a great friend, let's be honest, all right? Horrible, horrible friend. Now, you know, a lot of us, we really rely on this one the most, and it's the GPS voice, right? But let's be real, horrible friend, the GPS voice never admits that it could have warned us sooner, right? It's 100% factual. And then, contrary to popular belief, this actually might be the worst friend ever in the history of the world. Right? And some of you are like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Well, you are blessed. But this right here gave horrible advice, just sat there and looked back, and then floated away when things got really tough. So let's just be honest, not a great friend. So some of us in this room are probably pretty good at deciding what is a good friend, what is a bad friend. But the question that we should be asking this morning is am I a godly friend? Right. Let's start with ourselves. Let's inwardly look at ourselves. Am I a good friend? Now, you may know this, you may not know this, but do you know there is actually one subject that is addressed in every single New Testament book? And that subject is the need to be a good friend. Actually, the love of God is associated with how we treat our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And so that is, in essence, one of a very large topics of discussion in every single book of the Bible, of being a person that's trustworthy, honorable, reliable. So for some of us, we may overlook it, and we don't see the need for that self-examination. But really, because it's a wake-up moment to go, okay, let me ask myself, am I a godly friend? Am I what God has called me to be and do, right? So even in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, it says, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. So clearly how we treat others is important to God. God's love towards us is relational. Therefore, the same for us. We need to have that same relational experience with one another. It's not the words that matter. I can tell Dan he's a good-looking man, right? Dan, you're a good-looking man. And that's good, and he'll be like, that's nice, right? But the relationship that I have with Dan needs to be relational, because how I make him feel is going to last longer than the words that I say. And so that's how we should approach all of our friends. Anyone that we're in association with, we need to actually ask the questions of, like, I don't want to have these empty words. I actually want to have relational experience with people that they walk away and actually go, man, I love Jade. Jade is so sweet, and she's so kind. And when I get around her, I just get excited. You know why? Because she makes me feel good, right? Antoinette. When I get around Antoinette, I'm going to get a good hug from Antoinette, right? When I get around Ben, Ben's going to shake my hand. He's going to ask me how I'm doing. And then he's going to ask me what I need. I'm a needy person with Ben, but that's another story. But there's so many individuals in this room, if you would get to know them, you'd be like, man. I mean, there's so many, like, beautiful stories in this room. And when you get to know people, you go, It would be very hard not to be relational with one another, to ask them, how are they doing? To ask them what's going on in their life, and to be a part of their life in a way of it's not empty, and that it's actually God-filled. Because God is relational. He wants to be a part of every aspect of your life, not just portions of it. Every part of it. Now, John 15, 13 really, really hits home for some of us in a depth of friendship that many of us may not actually exude, but we probably should start thinking this way. So in John 15, 13 says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. Ah, that's tough. Now, some of it easy, we'd be like, yeah, for my wife. Right? For my husband, we would, no problem, easy. But for a friend, right? That's the level of relationship that is being asked of us as a Christian. That's huge. Huge. I actually mentioned Reverend Reinhard Bonnke. Some of you don't know who he is. He was the Billy Graham to Africa. And so I'll never forget this story. I was acquainted with Reverend Bonnke because of his right-hand man, a good friend of mine, Andrew. And so Andrew served under and with Reverend Bonnke for years and years. And they had gone to an event of some sort. And at the event, someone had asked Reverend Bonnke, said, hey, is Andrew your bodyguard? And now Andrew's fit now, but I think at the time he wasn't so fit looking. He was a pretty skinny guy, young guy, you know, at the time. And so, but that didn't really matter. Reverend Bonnke kind of looked at him and then looked at the pastor who was asking and said, actually, I don't know if something were to go sideways, I don't know who would protect who. The pastor kind of chuckled in the sense of like, Andrew's a not maybe a good enough security guard, or chuckled in the sense of, ah, he doesn't even know what he was doing if something did go wrong. That's the way the perception was from that pastor. But actually, what Reverend Reinhard Bonnke was saying was, if things go sideways, I would want to protect him. And that's really powerful to think about. Of this is what God is requiring of us. That we need to be so relational with one another that we would be willing to die for our friends. And that's a huge step forward than where we are right now. I know that for sure. So we need to be examining our own hearts. So that goes back to, again, to the original question. Am I a godly friend? So there's a few examples of this in the Bible. And let's give some honorable mentions, all right? Enoch, Elijah. However, there are two individuals I love to pull out to talk about today, and it's Abraham and Moses. So my first point this morning comes from Abraham, who is considered to be a friend of God. We see this in Isaiah 41:8, and even in the New Testament as well. But if you would study out the relationship between Abraham and God, the words that come out for this first point is faithful and obedient. Faithful and obedient. And with faithful and obedient, there's some characteristics that I would say flow right through that. And that would be supportive. That would be dependable and honest. And having that surrounding your relationship with one another pretty much exudes out the faithful and the obedient. So in this beautiful story we see actually in James chapter 2 in the New Testament, James chapter 2, 20 through 24, it says, you foolish person. This is James talking about faith, by the way. You'll see in just a second. So it says, you foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. That's beautiful, right? I mean, again, it goes back to, it's not necessarily the words of what you say for someone, but it's the action behind of how you make them feel. But knowing that this relationship is all around being faithful and obedient, which is supportive, which is honest, which is dependable, man, that's something we need to always self-examine in our relationship. So if I have, which I do have a relationship with Ethan, I need to be asking those questions of, because again, we can get into fence real quick. Ethan never calls me. He doesn't really care about me. You know, you can start having that type of perception about your relationship, but that's such a wrong step in the wrong direction versus do I call him? Do I reach out to him and check on Ethan? Have I been a good friend? Have I been faithful in the hard times and in the good times? Have I been obedient in the sense of my relationship with him and honesty? And have I been reliable with that obedience to one another? And that's the question we should be asking ourselves versus they're not a good friend. They just do this or they just do that. You be the example. Now, are there really bad friends out there? Yes. Okay, we know that. But the question always needs to be presented first, which is, are you a godly friend? And then from that perspective, you have every right to ask the leading of the Holy Spirit to guide you through that relationship. I've had to cut friends off. I mean, I've had some toxic friends in my life where I know that they aren't leading me towards the cross, right? They're taking me away from the cross. And those are the moments that I have to make a firm decision. But, excuse me, but keep in mind, I wouldn't ghost your friend just from that perspective. If they're an ungodly friend and they're not pointing you to the cross, I wouldn't just be so quick to be like, and then just ghost them. I would have a relationship conversation with them. Hey, I really love you, and you've been with me through a lot of things, but I got to tell you something. I want to be at the cross. I want my relationship with Jesus Christ to grow stronger. I want these things for you as well. I want to walk with you to the cross. And that kind of a conversation is necessary before you begin to slowly fade away and just ghost them. I mean, what kind of picture does that show as far as a Christ follower, right? So, yeah, you can have toxic friends, and meaning you can have them, but then you need to define that relationship, define those things, and not just cut them off, but define what that looks like. So, yeah, I have slowly faded away. I have ghosted friends too. No one's perfect. But today, if we can talk about it and examine it, let's call it for what it is and find out what God wants us to do. So we should be the Christian. We should be the one that reflects the relationship with God in our own relationships here on this earth. So in our relationship with God, faith is hearing, trusting, and obeying him. Okay? Obedience, right, is living out that trust by action. And in our friendship with people, faith is trusting your friend's heart and intentions, right? And obedience is acting on that trust by being reliable, loyal, and supportive. Okay, I want to say it all again for you, okay? So in our relationship with God, faith equals hearing, trusting, and obeying him, all right? And obedience is living out that trust by action. And then in friendship with people, faith is trusting your friend's heart and intentions, and that obedience in that relationship is acting on that trust by being reliable, loyal, and supportive. So I'm telling you, be very careful, though, with your friends. I mean, influence is powerful. Influence is so powerful. So if you are pursuing after that relationship with God, you do want to surround yourself with the same like-minded individuals. So invite your friends to be a part of that. Because I know some of you, maybe you just declared Jesus Christ your Lord and personal Savior. And so it's like, okay, do I just get rid of my friend group? Or how do you navigate this? I understand it's very difficult, but I would encourage you that you do it in the presence of the Lord, and you do it with honesty, you do it openness, you do it being direct, that you don't sit here and just beat around the bush, because before you know it, they're going to be like, who do they think they are, right? They're higher than mine. They think they're just so holy and blah, blah, blah. And so don't do it that way. That's the wrong way to approach it. Go to them and talk with them. Encourage them to come with you and say, this is the direction I'm going in my life. I need this change. I've seen the benefit of being in the Lord, being in his presence and being in the way of the Lord. That's the game changer for me. And so I would encourage you to do that as well. So just as faith with God means trusting him and following his word, fellowship means trusting one another and responding with that loyalty and that honesty and care. You know, Abraham's faith in that moment on that mountain there, I mean, what a, I can't even comprehend the idea of God asking me to sacrifice my son. And then, I can't imagine every step leading up to that mountaintop and knowing that the Lord has instructed you to do something at this magnitude and that you do it without question. His only, like, son with Sarah, like, I can't even fathom it. And in that moment, Abraham's faith showed his trust in God through obedience. And so in the same way with us, healthy friendships show trust through support, honesty, and dependability, that when our friends need us, we're there. I've told you guys this story before. I have some really close friends in my life. I mean, and I have good friends, good friends. And when my mom passed away in 2021, I called Justin up in Ohio, my best friend, and I told him my mom passed, and he started bawling on the phone. And I just was like, I wasn't crying. I had it held together in the moment. And I was like, why are you crying? And then I started crying. He goes, because if you cry, I cry. And I was like, oh, my Lord. So then we just cried forever on the phone. And I'll never forget that moment of that faithfulness to me, that faithfulness to say, no, I'm here. And to have that type of level of reliability. I can call Justin at any time, except on Sundays around this time, because he's preaching as well. But he would answer. So all of that instruction that I'm giving you from the book of James, of that relationship where God called Abraham his friend, that they were friends, it was built on a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful picture of faithfulness and obedience. Faithfulness and obedience. The next relationship that I want to bring out is Moses. Moses was also called a friend. And the point that I want to bring out in their relationship is trustworthy and reliable. Trustworthy and reliable. I know it seems reliable and dependability, I get it, they're very similar, but that is something that just continues to resonate with that relationship, being a godly friend. So in that next point, trustworthy and reliable, Moses, it says in Exodus 33:11, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Face to face. Man. Guys, another thing about Justin, I love him. He's the worst, by the way. Meaning, like I'll admit, like, my best friend is the worst. Like, all of the staff, people that are around, and some of you guys that just know, you've met Justin, you've been around, you're like, oh, yeah, he's the worst. Because he's that guy. I'm very, believe it or not, I'm very reserved, and I'm semi-quiet most times. I'm talkative around people that I'm familiar with, but most times I'm just kind of quiet and reserved, and Justin's not. So when you're at a restaurant, Justin's the one who's going to talk to everyone in the restaurant. And I'm like, please just come sit down at the table. Like, Justin's at another table. And the reason is because he grew up on a campsite. So his parents managed a RV type of campsite. So they told me, his parents told me that they would wake up on Saturday morning and he would be eating breakfast with someone in another RV. Can you imagine, right? He was just that little kid that would walk around and knock on RVs and he would eat breakfast with all of these strangers. So my friend Justin, he's the worst because I get so like, ah, just sit down, Justin, please, you know. But all of that to say, Justin and I, we have such a relationship that we will literally talk to one another and say, you know, I'll hang up the phone on him because I'm like, hey, I got to go. Boom, I just hang up. And we don't have to explain it because I just got to go. He'll hang up on me and because, hey, I got to go, and just hang up. And then we will call each other all throughout the day. We talk multiple times in a day, multiple times through the week. It's really strange for any guy to talk this much on the phone. But we do, and everyone knows around the church too that all of a sudden Justin's calling. I'll be in a meeting, be like, "Hey, Justin's calling. I got to answer," and I just answer, and he'll want to tell me something really dumb, and then I'll be like, "All right, but I'm in a meeting," and he's like, "Yeah, but this is more important." He's the worst. But that reliable side of that relationship that I have with him is invaluable. That reliability that I have with him. His son, he's starting his freshman year of high school, and he's been working out all summer long, he's been working out for years now, trying to bulk up to be this awesome star football player. First game of the season, and he tears his ACL. I know. It was the first game of the season, second play, and he tears his ACL. And he started as a freshman, right? So you know he's pretty good. And Justin immediately calls me. I'm about to cry right now. He just started bawling on the phone. He's like, "My son." He's like, "Why?" You know? And I thought, God, I know it just stinks. Like, why does good things happen to bad people, right? Do you just hate that kind of stuff? And my heart just broke for him because, like, this is his boy. By the way, if you didn't know this, it's flip-flopped. He has three girls and one boy. I have three boys and one girl. So that's his boy, right? So it was just so heartbreaking. But I'm so glad that I was the one that answered that phone call. I'm so glad that I was the one that could talk with him, that reliability that I'm there. Like, it's we are there for one another, period, no matter what. You have a friend, right, that this is it. We're not budging. And there's been moments that he has hurt my feelings. I've never hurt his feelings. I want you to know that. He has hurt my feelings. And Christian will vouch for that, right? It's Justin. Anyway. But we have had those hard conversations where I have called him and I said, "You hurt my feelings." He's like, "I'll get over it." He's like, "You're weak." Bruce will vouch for this too. He knows. But it's those moments I go, "No, now you stop it. You will not treat me this way." So all of that to say, I know that relationship that I have with my earthly friend Justin is very similar that Moses had with God. And this is why. In Exodus, it was a misfire right there. 3 hours of sleep, everyone. In Deuteronomy 31:6, it says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Man, what a beautiful scripture of knowing that reliability they have for one another, and knowing that he's not going to leave him. That presence will never leave him. You guys, everyone, if you've been at church for a long time in your life, you guys know this next phrase or statement that I'm going to make. It's been said throughout decades now, and so it's not a new concept, but it's something to really weigh on your thoughts. Your relationship with God is so important. I'm talking about earthly friends, but let's talk about that relationship with you that you have with God first, because that's important. Not only with your friendships, but with your spouse, with your children, with your coworkers. It all starts with your relationship with God and having that relationship with him and understanding that thank God that he is for you and not against you. Thank God that he is willing and with an open heaven for you to come into his presence and to seek counsel with him. I go to him before I go to Justin. I go to him before I go to my wife. I go to him before anything that I do. Because why? Because I can go to Ethan and I can sit down and I know Ethan's got my back. And I can say, Ethan, this is troubling me. This is what's going on in my life. But Ethan, he can't take that burden off my shoulders. He can help alleviate some of the stress by loving on me, by maybe giving me some good godly wisdom and advice and knowledge. But at the end of the day, he can't actually take that burden off of me, but God can. And so it's always important that we go to God first and we say, God, get this off of me. And then the hope and the prayer is that when I go to a good friend like Ethan, then Ethan just continues to compound that knowing of what the Word of God says by saying, hey, actually, remember, God is taking this weight off of you. That he's just re-speaking out the scriptures of me going, that's right, God's taking this weight off of me. He's the one who's going to bring the answer and the solution. He's the one who's going to come in any circumstance, any situation, and he's going to bring those things under submission to his power, to his might, not by mine, not my understanding, but his understanding. And so all of that to say is that your friend should, again, just reflect and point the goodness of God. They can help alleviate some of that pressure and some of that stuff, but it's still there, okay? So you have got to go to God first, because this is the statement that we're all so familiar with that we've heard in church for a long time. Hell isn't scary because of the fire and the gnashing of teeth. Many people are fearful of hell because of fire and eternity and all of those bad things that you think about. But that's not why hell is scary. Hell is scary because God isn't there. That's why hell is scary. If you have a relationship with God, then that's what you should be fearful of with hell. Now, granted, if you have a relationship with God, you don't need to worry about hell. I know it's an oxymoron. But what I'm trying to say is, hell is absent of the presence of God. Therefore, your heavenly position is the presence with God. And that in itself, you go, man, that's what I want. Because I've experienced the presence of God. I can't fathom not having God in my life. I rely on him first. Therefore, that is why I'm able to be reliable for my friends. So you have to have that perspective and that understanding of, I can't live life without him. I cannot live without him. He is number one. But sadly, as we know, 1 Corinthians tells us in chapter 1, verses 18, it says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Period. That's it. We know people who do not understand the presence of God, they think of it as foolishness. But once you experience the power of God, you realize that is it. That is the only reason that I can live and breathe to this day. That is why I know that when I have heavy things, I can go to him and I can lay those down at his feet and say, God, here it is. Again, as we've all been taught in this church, that if you're carrying something heavy, God didn't put it on you. He told us that his yoke is easy and light. So go to him and lay those cares at his feet. Talk with him. Now, I want to finish out with Exodus 33, 12 through 17. This story is beautiful. So in verse 12, it says, Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. So if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. So the Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And then Moses said to him, and man, I love this. If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Man, that is so powerful. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Man, I love the honesty that's there. Like, I love that. I love that Moses can be just straightforward. I mean, God just said, hey, my presence will go with you. And then Moses was like, as if you were thinking about not, because I don't want to do anything if you don't go with us. Like, he called God out on it. Not out of disrespect, but out of the sense of like, I just want you to know I'm not going to do anything without you as well. Right. Like, there's none of this that's going to happen. It's only going to be this. And that is so beautiful that you have that type of relationship, and it's possible to have that type of relationship with your Heavenly Father, and that is the same relationship that you can have with someone else. It takes time. Some of you are going to learn over this next few weeks here in the month of September what that looks like to invest in one another. But it does take time. And when you begin to understand that reliability that you have with one another, that trustworthiness that you have with someone, it just grows. Justin will call me regularly. He goes, hey, you want to come up tomorrow? He lives outside of Dayton, Ohio. It's not an easy drive. He goes, I'll fly you up. I go, Justin, I can't come up tomorrow. He goes, I just want to hang out with you. Like, and honestly, he would. Like, he would just fly me up there, I'm sure. But he, all the time, it's like that constant want to be with me type of relationship. And I love that. I love that about our relationship. But that all comes from investing in that reliability, in that trustworthiness, that we've got each other's back. And that you want to spend time with one another. You want to be there with one another. I get to be with him this weekend, and I'm so excited. I mean, he's the worst. Don't get me wrong. He's the worst. There's going to be cringy moments. I'll be like, please stop. Please stop. But I love being with him because of our amount of trustworthiness, because of our reliability with one another. You know, Moses stood with God when Israel rebelled, and God never abandoned Moses, even when the people did. True friends do not walk away in tough times. They don't. See, with God, Moses spoke to God face to face. One, as one speaks to a friend, Moses was honest. He was honest with God. He had real honest conversations. I mean, study out the story between Moses and God. So many moments where Moses was real frank, real honest, and not out of disrespect, but just knowing, hey, God, this is what's on my heart, and this is what I'm thinking. Correct me if I need to think differently or if my actions are wrong, but God, what is happening? Like, reveal this to me. And that's why Moses pleaded with him there in Exodus 33. But let me know, like, you by name. And if you have found favor with me, like, he wants to know what's going on. And so he's asking, he's saying, God, reveal these things to me. And so it was, even in expressing the frustration, Moses was able to do this. God is not fearful of your questions. He's not fearful of what you're going to ask him. Or if it comes from a place of frustration, God is not fearful of this. So have that relationship with God first. And then as you begin to develop these earthly friends that you have, you'll recognize and realize these opportunities you have to establish healthy friendships. And that they aren't fake. And that you're willing to take risks with individuals who are not perfect. Let's be real, we're not perfect. But when you have these honest conversations, it should always be with encouragement for one another. And if there's correction that's needed in the moment, it's okay. There should be such a level of trustworthiness, though, before correction comes into the picture. Bruce and I are good friends. I would say we're pretty much, even though there's an age gap, I'm much older than him. Bruce and I are like, in my brain, it's an odd relationship. You can use all the earthly type of relationship, but I love more of the title of brothers, in a sense of like we really can be honest with one another. And it's funny, the more we've been around each other, it's been a good 5 years now. We've been very close, and we've developed this relationship that now it's less trying to create this like, hey, let me tell you that I love you before I tell you something that you need to know. Like, those words are going out the door now. Now it's just more or less, let me just tell you what you need to know. Let me show you a perspective that you may not be seeing right now. Let me show you this, and it not have to be with a little clause that says, know where I'm coming from, I love you, trust me. It's like those after time will fade and you can just have good, honest conversation with one another to be like,
yeah, that's right.
That's good. I didn't think about it that way. I have that relationship with my wife as well. You should as well with your spouse. You should be able to have an open, honest conversation with one another where you go, hey. I mean, you always walk with a little bit of grace with it, obviously, you know, and you go, hey. Know what you did today? No. And then they go, well, you said this. And you go, oh. It's hard to be corrected. It is. But I'd rather be corrected by a friend than a stranger. Right? I'd rather be corrected by someone who loves me, who has the best intentions for me. And that's that same relationship that we have with God. God wants to give you constructive criticism. He wants to prune you. He wants to take those nasty things off of you. He wants to help you grow in a way that you're going to grow more successful. That's why I always say it, that we are potter, or we are clay in the potter's hands. And I am not about to yell at the potter, please stop molding me. I don't want to be a little small vase or a vase. I want to be a vase. Seen a vase in a mansion, you walk in, you're like, oh, that's a vase, right? I don't want to be a little vase. You can only grow so much in a vase. I took Justin Snyder up to my office one time and I go, hey, this plant's not growing. He goes, well, you only put it in a pot this big. And I go, what do you mean? Why does it matter? He goes, well, there's something about it. These plants have like knowledge of where they're at. And if you give it a big, big pot, they'll grow big. If you give them a small pot, they won't grow any bigger than the pot. So I am never about to yell at God. Say, oh, that hurts. Stop. No, I'm good enough. No. God, make me into a vase. Mold me, shape me, so that I can be a better friend. That I can be a trustworthy friend, a friend, a reliable friend. Because with friends and that healthy relationships that aren't fake, you're allowing for those honest conversations. You're allowing for this encouragement and even those corrective moments. And I'll wrap it up with this. In 1 John 4, 11 through 12, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us. Do you understand the correlation? What he's saying is that no one has seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, meaning we are that reflection of God for people, that they can see that love that is only God's love, that is supernatural, and we have the chance to be a reflection where God has never been seen, but yet here within us, that love is a reflection of his glory and his goodness. So God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. So for the next 8 minutes, the band's going to play. They're going to worship here. And I want you to be intentional. I want you to think about that question. Am I a godly friend? Lord, I've asked you to reside in me. And so, Lord, I want you to clean out all the nooks and crannies. All these moments where I feel like it's everyone else, but it's not me. God, help me to be a godly friend. So in these next few moments, have the Lord examine your heart. Am I a good friend? given a text this yesterday. The text was the word consecrated. And, you know, I think about that word, and I've been dwelling on it since yesterday. But that consecrated definition is to set things apart for holy things. And I think about our lives being consecrated in Christ Jesus, that we have declared that we are a place that's holy, where the Holy Spirit can reside, where His presence can be. And I think the same thing transfers over into that consecration and a friendship, that trustworthiness to say, hey, like, I want to be that place where there's reliability, there's an obedience, there's a faithfulness to this. And consecrating yourself in the Lord first, obviously, is number one. And then it just trickles on down to the sense of, like, I want to be an individual for my friends that are reliable, trustworthy, obedient, and loyal. I mean, that's really important, that this is a place that is someone can come and they can have safety, that there's not this place of content, right, where there's so much familiarity that you just treat people with disrespect. Like, honor your friends. And in the same respect, that I pray that they honor you back, that they don't treat you with contempt, that they just build you up and they don't tear you down. That's number one. So this week, before we dismiss, I want to say just two more things. We're starting our study groups here in the month of September. I would encourage you, if you haven't signed up, sign up for one of these. This is a great place to begin to make friends. The enemy's going to do everything he can to pluck you out. He's going to tell you, oh, these people are fake. They're trying to be mean to me. You're going to walk into these rooms, and people are here, like, I'm anxious. This doesn't feel good. I feel this is awkward. No one said hi to me. And it's like, man, so many things come just swooping in to try to isolate you. Hey, show yourself friendly. Right, start with you. And walk in and introduce yourself and meet and greet. Be a part of it. Take a risk with somebody. Okay? So that comes to my next action step. This weekend, I told you I was getting ready to see my best friend, Justin. Well, I'm actually going up to Ohio to be around a group of pastors that we have formed a brotherhood, and we're locking arms, we're playing Red Rover, Red Rover, you know? Like, we're here for one another. We're here to build each other up. It would be easy for me to have called Justin up and said, hey, we're all gathering up in Newark, Ohio. I'm getting an Airbnb. You want to get in the Airbnb with me? And I could have easily done that. But I didn't want to, because I want to take the risk of getting to know other people. So I called my friend Matt in Maine, and I said, Matt, you want to share an Airbnb? Your wife and my wife, and we're going to share an Airbnb. And he's like, oh, yeah, let's do this, right? Because I'm willing to take a risk and not just isolate myself with one individual. I'm willing to say, let me be a friend to more than one and take the risk and sow in and invest in other relationships. So I would encourage you to do this. Like, the action step this week is be intentional. Call a friend. Maybe call someone on the fringe of your friends group, you know, and invite them in and have a coffee with them this week. Have a lunch time with them, or maybe invite them over just for the evening to hang out at your house or whatever it is. But be intentional and say, hey, I want to get to know you better. Okay? Maybe you need to mend a relationship this week. Be an adult. Grow up. You make the phone call. Be open and honest and direct with them. And try to make a resolution with this. Like, try to come to a resolve where you can share each other's heart, to hear each other and see where you guys were coming from and something. But walk in forgiveness. Walk in this forgiveness. It brings life to your circumstance. So I would encourage you, ask them questions this week about their lives. Be intentional. Don't make it all about you. Be intentional. Ask them questions. Get to know them this week. All right? Okay. I'm going to pray. And then, guys, this week, join a study group. Come out. Be a part of it. I tell you, the men, they meet Norm and his group, those guys are hilarious. They're fun, good group of men. I mean, good group of men. We got awesome group. Amy and her group of women, man, so much fun. All the different groups, so much fun. Anna and David, guys, I tell them all the time, they would be, not that they can't be. David's like, I can't be your friend. Yes, David, you can be my friend. David's on the camera. Anna's her friend. Yes, they would be like my best friends. Like, I love hanging out with David and Anna. They're hilarious. Guys, they run our young adults group. So much fun to be around. They're a hoot. So, guys, be intentional this week. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. God, I'm so thankful. Lord, I'm so thankful. God, for friendships, brothers and sisters united. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're watching over us. You're guiding us as we pursue after friends. Lord, I pray that, Lord, that we're not isolating ourselves, or, Lord, that we're being timid, but, Lord, that we're being bold, and, Lord, that we're being honorable to one another and reliable and trustworthy and obedient and faithful. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the friendships that we have in Christ Jesus, but, Lord, I'm so thankful for the friendship that we have with you. God, I thank you, Lord, that you're with us. So it's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen and amen. Guys, have a great Sunday. We'll see you next week.